Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please make those hand clap louder for Jesus this morning. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Our God is a faithful God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just begin to make some declarations this morning, because our month of manifested declaration. Manifested declaration. The manifestation of what we have declared. Hallelujah. I want to just begin to prophesy over yourself and say, Father, I thank you. Once again, you said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, we are more than two in this assembly. We are more than three in this assembly. We are more than four. And so by faith, we know and we receive that your presence is here with us. Jehovah, we declare over our lives, Father, that with long life, you will satisfy us. It will be well with us. Come on, declare. I don't know what you see in this week. I don't know what you are expecting this week. The Bible says that he will not cause the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain. Every time Zion gathers together, it says every time Zion gathers together, God is present to grant heed to their prayers. So we need to declare what you see this week. Oh, someone is to declare, Father, I thank you. You will promote me this week. You will prosper me this week. You will increase me this week. You will protect me and my children this week. The Bible says that I and the children that God has given to us, we are for signs and wonders. Begin to declare that you will experience signs and great wonders this week. Begin to declare that your children will experience great signs and great wonders this week. Your children will go out in peace. They will return in joy. In the name of Jesus, begin to declare the blood of Jesus over you and yours and your entire household. Begin to declare that it will be well with your husband, it will be well with your spouse, it will be well with your household. In the name of Jesus, begin to declare that men will remember you for good. They will remember you for good. You will receive an email this week. Someone remembering you for good. Begin to declare that as we have prophesied that these next 7 weeks will be the weeks of harvest of testimonies. Begin to declare that your testimonies will not elude you. Your testimonies will not elude you. Your testimonies will not elude you. God will grant you testimonies every single day of the week. Come on, begin to declare. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Come on, begin to declare concerning your church. Your church will grow. Your church will multiply. Your church will become a church of influence to be a blessing to those around it. People will come and they will meet with Christ in this church. Come on, begin to declare. They begin to declare that the word of God will never fail in your church. The word of God will never fail in your church. Begin to declare. Declare over yourself that your spirit will receive the word of God and your faith will be applied to the word of God. Begin to cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, and you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. Cover your children with the blood of Jesus. Cover your career with the blood of Jesus. Cover your finances with the blood of Jesus. Begin to rebuke the devourer and say, Lord, I declare, I bind. The Bible says, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I lose on earth is lost in heaven. I bind the works of darkness concerning my life and the life of my children in the name of Jesus. I bind the activity of the evil one. From today, I declare only that which is spoken concerning me in scriptures, I permit to happen in my life. From today, I decree and I declare that only that which is spoken concerning me in scriptures, that my soul permit to happen to me in the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to thank the Lord and say, Father, I thank you. Thank you for the prophetic word that this is the month of manifested declaration. I have declared it. I have decreed it. So shall it be to me according to my faith in the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to appreciate the Lord and say, Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. That amen is very encouraging. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Church, please put your hands together. You may please have your seat. Amen. You are welcome. You are welcome, my friends, my family. You are welcome. The Lord bless you in this great service in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I welcome you to our Friendship Sunday. The hand of God will rest mightily upon you in Jesus' mighty name. I want to take two testimonies very quickly. Help me put your hands together for Kweju. So every week we're going to be taking testimonies very quickly. Hallelujah.
Good morning, church. I just want to testify of God's faithfulness and just thank him for his gift of life. and his covenant of protection. The week after we finished the fast, I had to take my younger son to the High Hospital in London. So on my way back from London on the 8-2, I started to feel really, really tired and sleepy. So I thought, not long now, you know, I'll soon get to Gravesend. And I kept driving on. And then when I got into Gravesend, for people who live in Gravesend, it's the intersect between Valley Drive and Old Road East. So it's like a T-junction. But if you're on Old Road East, it's a blind spot for people coming from Valley Drive. But I think they've never done anything about it because there are two demarcated lines and you shouldn't be on the other lane anyway. But I was waiting at the traffic lights and in an instant I just dozed off. And the next thing I knew was my car had rolled and had crossed and, you know, almost like I wanted to turn back again. So I was actually in the path of whoever was coming in from Valley Drive. And it's a blind spot. And most times, people just rushing. They drive really fast into that corner because they don't expect any other vehicle to be there. But the next thing I knew was the car was honking, and that was what woke me up. And it could have been really, really bad. My son was asleep in the back of the car anyway, and I was there. And I know that the least we could have gotten away with would have been really, really terrible. But I just thank God that we didn't have a really bad testimony after the fast. We'd been praying for protection and things, even during the weekly prayer meetings. And I thank God that he made that a reality in our lives.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, church, my friends, that's the reason why we constantly pray and pray and pray and believe the word of God, and because you never can tell when the devil will want to play pranks. And we thank God for his covenant of protection, and we thank God for covering this house with his blood, and we thank God for covering you with his blood of Jesus. No accident will befall you in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord will always protect you and watch over you and yours and your family in the name of Jesus. We just prayed about that this morning, didn't we? Amen. We just prayed about that because you never can tell. That's why we must be vigilant and watchful and keep praying. The Lord bless you in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank God for that testimony. Well, this morning, I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I read the last part of chapter 10. All right? The last part of chapter 10. The title of my message is, As God Friends. The title of my message is, God Wants You to Be a Role Model. God Wants You to Be a Role Model. Are you a role model? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read from verse 33. 1 Corinthians 10, it says, Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good. Let me tell you of your friend, don't seek your own good. No, let me tap them. Say, do not seek your own good. He says, but the good of many. So that is the reason why I do not seek my own good and seek the good of many is for one purpose and one purpose only, so that they may be what? Saved. This is the reason why we seek the good of not just ourselves, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. He now said something. He said, I want to challenge you as my friends. I want to challenge you as my friends. So he moves on to verse 11. And he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. All right? So in fact, actually, when it comes to chopping down this the word of God into chapter and verse, that chapter, verse 1 is actually part of the statement he was making what he was saying is that he says, for I am not only seeking my own good, but the good of many. Why am I seeking the good of many? And why am I not seeking my own good? He says, so that they may be saved, church. So that they may be saved. He now said, look, follow my example, okay? Follow my example. Let's seek the good of many so that they may be saved. Follow my example.
And he now says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In other words, I didn't get this example from just anywhere. I got this example from Jesus himself. He didn't come to seek his own good. He came to seek the good of everyone, and for only one reason, so that everyone might be saved. Church, this is the reason why we live. This is the model. I particularly like the person of Paul, because he was just a regular guy. And a lot of bad things happened to this gentleman. We can't even go into that detail now. But a lot of things happened to him as a person. But one of the things I love about him is that how committed he was to the cause of Christ. He was so committed to the cause of Christ. He was so committed to the reason why God got him saved. He was so committed to his friendship with Jesus. And he had this experience where, and you know, Acts chapter 8 and 9, you see his conversion. Just like many of us have, we have stories to tell about our conversion. We have stories. We know we are Christians. If not, that we know we are in church. We know we are Christians. We know there's something in our life that just yearns to be like Christ. But you see, my friend, that is the purpose for us to do like Paul, as Paul followed Christ. Why? Do not seek your own good, but seek the good of many, for one reason, that they might be saved. And that brings me to a very important thing this morning. And that is the fact that God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. You cannot do this without a personal relationship with Jesus. God wants to have a personal relationship. And it's interesting that it's our Friendship Sunday. As we celebrate friendship, because friendship is born out of relationship, correct? Right. Friendship is born out of relationship. We get excited about today. Why? Because we say, I have friends in church. I have friends in church. You know, the same thing. God wants to have relationship with you. The relationship God wants to have with you is not mass relationship. God doesn't want to have relationship with the church. He wants to have relationship with you as an individual. God does not want to have a relationship with you as a couple, right? God wants to have a relationship with you as a husband, with you as a spouse, also as a wife, with you as a child. The relationship we have with Christ is personal. Our friendship with Jesus is personal. Our friendship with Jesus is personal. What is your friendship like today? Our friendship, you know, God of the universe wants to have relationship with you. I know that this is something that many of us do not take into consideration, right? It's easier to think that, oh, God loves the world. God loves the church. God loves people. God loves the world and he wants to have relationship with the world. God loves the church and he wants to have relationship with the church. God loves the pastor. Yeah, yes. God wants to have a relationship with the pastor. So I expect my pastor to hear the voice of God. I expect my pastor to know the will of God. I expect, but me? Mm-mm, maybe not. That's not true. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. Please let me tell yourself that. Say, God wants to have a personal relationship with me. Exactly. If you read that in scriptures, you see the heart of God. This way of life is true, it's authentic, it's genuine. You see, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve. The Bible says that God came down. To put that in scriptures shows us the heart of God. And God came down to have fellowship and friendship with Adam. And the Bible even says he came down every evening. Every evening. Do you see God as a friend? If you do, what is your friendship like? You know, it's very easy for us to see God as a friend of the pastor. Many people honor the pastor more than they honor God. Many people will adjust their character and their behavior when they see their pastor, but will never adjust their character and their behavior in their closet. You know why? Because they think God cannot possibly be there. You know what I'm saying? If you see a couple having an argument, but today this month is Valentine's. The whole world is celebrating friendship. So, husband, treat your wife and your wife's wife well. right? So, you know, if you have two, the husband and wife, you know, having this squabble, no, I don't like you. And they look at the woman and say, Daddy, you know, and Tommy goes, Daddy, Pastor is outside. Huh? It's okay, wait. So it's okay. Also, you call it truth. We'll talk later now. We'll talk. Say, okay, Angela. Say, Pastor is outside. And smile now, Pastor is outside. A lot of people are more afraid, they're more worried about what their pastor thinks about them than what God thinks about them. I'm not God. I'm not here to judge you. I don't have the right to judge you. I don't have the right to tell you how you live your life. No. My job is to love you and teach you. You know? This is where my mother would say, if you do, if you don't do it. If you do, you don't do, only God knows what. So I don't have the right to judge you. But my life will tell you that God wants to have a serious relationship with you. You see, in my life, I've had the privilege of meeting so many people. So many people. And, so in all the people you meet, you carefully choose who your friends are. So I have many acquaintances, but very few friends. I have many acquaintances, very few friends. But God does not want you to be an acquaintance. Acquaintances don't know what is happening in my life, but only my friends do. Amen. I have so many acquaintances. Oh, so I was an acquaintance. Who is an acquaintance? An acquaintance is the person who thinks he's my friend. Ouch, that's not. It's true. You think you do now? You do the same thing, isn't it? An acquaintance is someone who is somebody who thinks that he's my friend when he's not my friend, right? An acquaintance is somebody who thinks that you are his friend, his or her friend, and you are not. You have acquaintances. You too, you have acquaintances. He said, yes, I have David Beckham's number. Yeah, see David Beckham? See, I have his number. Yeah. He lives in Hertfordshire here. He was born in East London. But does he? Exactly. So many of us, what I'm trying to tell you today is that God does not want you to be an acquaintance. He wants to be a friend. He wants to be a friend. And the way we connect with God as friends is through prayers. It's through prayers. This Friendship Sunday, and also as the world celebrates Valentine's Day, and remember, God wants to be in a special relationship with you. It's very, very important that you know that. He wants to be in a special relationship with you. He wants to be your friend at all costs. And so, when there is relationship, communication is easy. In relationship, communication is what? It's easy. Have you ever been around someone and you don't have very good rapport, you know? The communication doesn't flow. That's what they call awkward, isn't it? You sit and then you sit down and you don't know what to say. And then you talk about the most boring thing on earth, you know? It's cold today, isn't it? But if you look at it carefully, right? You say it's cold today. It's not that it's cold because you are dressed warm, you are all talked up properly, but you're saying it's cold today. No. You are saying that relationship is cold. It's cold. Yeah, it's cold. And then you look at that and say, how are the kids? Oh, the kids are. Oh, they are fine. Say, you've asked that before. Oh, sorry. How are the kids? Yeah. How many of you have been there before? Yeah, you know, I do that. Sometimes when there's no relationship, right? When there's no relationship, communication is awkward. And every now and then, they say, I used to get pastor to bail me out, right? Because I'm a very private person. So sometimes when people come around, or when I'm in people's company, I don't know what to say, you know? And I say, how are you? You know? And I'll be looking at her, like, my friend, come here. come here. Why are you standing there? You come here. Come on. Basically, I'm saying, come and rescue me. Come on, you know, come and rescue me. Ah, so then I say, I think Bola wants to have a chat with you. You know, so. and then we start going, and then we go there, and then you know, so when it's three of us, the tension is less. Yeah, many of you, that's what your prayer life is like. That's what you are to God. You know, every time you kneel down to pray, you keep quiet for a long time. I say, it's awkward, isn't it? Oh man. So you then you now try some fake tongue. They still don't feel like you've done anything. This prayer thing is not working. You know why it's not working? There's no relationship. If you are finding it difficult to pray properly, right? If you are finding it difficult to pray, check it. There's no relationship. When there's relationship, just flow, man. Praise the Lord. I pray in my bathroom. And I'm in the shower, you know. I'm talking. I'm like, Lord, Father, thank you, Jesus. Today is a great day. And you know, you're excited. I don't know if you get excited when you're with people you like. Mm-hmm. Exactly. When there is communication, when there is relationship, there is flow of communication. What is prayer? Prayer is communication. Your communication with God shouldn't be awkward. It shouldn't be dry. Hey, say, Lord, bless me. If you wish, you may. But bless me. Amen. And then you keep this long silence. You know, you say you plan to pray for half an hour, and then you wait, and then you mumble some things, and then you look at the wristwatch. It's just 3 minutes. And then you go, this thing is not. It's not. And then you keep quiet again, and that's why it's difficult. So it's a lot easier to just wake up and then just do your own thing. But that is not proper for a believer. You must feel comfortable on your knees in prayers with God. You know why? Because it's communication time. How many of you will like it if your husband does not talk to you? Uh-huh. How many of you will like it, you know, your husband comes home and says, darling, how are you? Is everything okay? And then you come. Did you not hear me? I'm calling you. Did you say anything? How do you like that kind of relationship? You don't. Oh, but do you think God likes it? What is prayer? You think God likes it? So when it comes to prayer, it should not be awkward. The same way you come in, the same way you, many of you, I see many of you here, and I know that you like me. I know you do. Because sometimes I tell pastors, but man, just when we go to church, just look at people's faces when they come into church. They're excited. You know, the same way you and I, we run into each other in the corridor. Hey, how are you? Wow. And then we talk, and then we talk. How is it going? And then that's the way it should feel. That's what you should experience when you get home and it's prayer time. That's the way you should feel. That's the way you should feel. As you get to a point where you just cannot wait to go have that, oh man, let me just cook this dinner, man, kiss this guy, and then kiss your husband, cook the dinner. Let me just go have my quiet time. And Lord, I thank you. Thank you. I'm happy. Thank you for all that you are doing. Thank you. You know, if you have the, every time I do that, every time I look at myself, I look at this church, I look at people's lives, and I ask my wife, the number of times this week, I say, well, I'm happy. I'm excited. Oh, church, we finally nailed it. I like the climate. I like the spirituality. I like their hunger. They are growing. Lord, I'm a blessed pastor. I wish I had a camera in my house for you to see me and my, you know, and the way I pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, oh, break up my shoes. Oh, Lord, I thank you. And I'm going there. And then I break up to a dance. And I'm dancing. And I'm, you know, that's me and my Lord. That's me and my God. Me and my God. That's how it should be. Slow down and build your friendship with Jehovah. Slow down and build your, invest in your communication time. Invest in your friendship. Invest in it. Invest in your friendship. God wants to be your friend, and you can only build friendship if you have good, if you have communication with the Lord. And communication is easy when you have a relationship. You have a relationship. Out of that comes beauty and life and godliness after that. So when there is, so it's easy to, in relationship, communication is easy when it is built on what? Based on what? Communication. So we communicate with God through prayer. So God wants you to be able to communicate with him. And it doesn't have to be rocket science. Oh, forget, you know, I remember when I was growing as a Christian. Man, sometimes some people, when they pray, they just intimidate you. You hear me say that every time. Oh, oh, Father. And some people are, they are wordsmith. You know what they call wordsmith? They are wordsmith. They have A1 in English, GCSE. And they can paint, they can communicate. Some people, man, one day when I was a young Christian, I sat next to one gentleman, and it was time for us to pray. Man, the guy got up, Father, in the name of Jesus. And then he went on. You are the El Shaddai. Oh, my God. You saw the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. And that was his own prayer time. Man, and I had to stop praying. Oh, look, I said, my God. Man, just look at this guy. This guy is talking English, man. Beautiful words. And I was more like that. Their command of English is, it's serious. I like folk can speak English, yeah, I'm telling you. And they were stringing phrases, man, and put phrases and put clauses and say, oh, majesty. And then they have this way, they have this, I know what I feel about him in my heart, but grammar fails me many times. How many of you are like me? And I was like, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Man, you can thank God, you can see my heart. No, I love you. And the other one is decorating, put decoration, man, put decoration. I say, hallelujah, hallelujah. To you be the glory. Glory be to God for all that you have done, the beginning and the end. And then they can start rolling out the name of Jesus. Oh, Jehovah, the man of war. The I Shaddai, the I am that I am. Oh, thank you for your Shekinah. Good Shaka. It's Shekinah, me, I know. Thank you for your Shekinah, glory. Shakira is our prayer again. Shakira is our prayer again. Oh God. Thank God, God does not measure by amount of grammar. I won't qualify. Knackered, man. Where's my flannel? I'm sweating here. I thought you said this thing is not working. In relationship, right? In a relationship, time together is easy. If there is relationship, I said communication will be what? Easy. Time together will be easy. How many of you have been around those you like? No, seriously. You know you have, talk to me now. You know you have friends. There are people I like. You know, when they say they are going, I say, please don't go now. You know, how many of you like that? You know, how many of you know, how many of you have people like that? People, you just like them. No, seriously, you just like them. Every time they come to your house, it's like, hi! Good to see you. I'm going to see you. And you start talking, you know. And then they are going to have a cup of coffee. You follow them, you know. And then I say, how many of you know that? They come to your house, say, come. You don't sit down in the living room. That's what you do. No. You sit down in the kitchen. You sit down in the conservatory. It doesn't matter where you sit. You just sit down and just enjoy the company of one another. Time together is enjoyable when there's relationship. Right? But if there's somebody you don't like, when they show up in your house, say, they have come again. I say, your friend is at the door. and then you go and stay in the living room. You go and stay in your bedroom. And then you say, Have they not gone yet? Or you then sit together. And you know that friend you don't like that comes to visit you all the time? That's the acquaintance. Yeah? That acquaintance said, I'm going to visit my friend. And they show up in your house. That friend is the only one I thought that they are your friend. But as far as you are concerned, that person is not your friend. You know? So before you go visiting, try and find out first. You know? But when your friend, when there are people that you like, look at it, they warmth. And you know, how many of you know how time flies? Oh, how time flies. You know, like when I'm around people that I like that, you know, I say, many of people that in my circle, many of some still work. That's why I love bank holidays. I will stay longer, we stay into the night, they don't have to go to work the next day. You know, we just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk at everything. You know? Whenever you know when you have friends around, when you are comfortable, you talk. And you just talk, isn't it? But when there's no, when you don't spend time, when there's no relationship, conversation does not flow. It doesn't flow. You are not comfortable. That's how it is with God. You should be excited to sit down and be comfortable with the fact that you are in the presence of God, not just in church. Not just in church. In your home. You know, when I used to travel out and work, you know, when I was working as a consultant, I just can't wait to get back to my home. When I come home and I shut the door, I feel like if I'm in church. Oh my goodness, I feel as if I'm in church. I feel like God is here. But that's where I live. God is here. Praise the Lord. When there's relationship, spending time together is easy. When there's no relationship, it's a drag. Huge drag. It's uncomfortable. When there's no relationship, you pick your Bible, it's as if you are trying to read Harry Potter. Yeah, there's nothing, you know. There's nothing. And yet the Bible says that this is a letter written from God's heart to your heart. But when there's no relationship, it's cold. It's cold. You know, some people came to see me yesterday. So they brought the gift around. But along with the gift, you know, it was a card. And on the card, they expressed their heart on the card. You know, and I stood there and I just started to take time and I was reading that thing. I was reading it and I was happy reading it. I was, you know, why? Because there is a relationship. Does that make sense? When there's a relationship and I'm reading from you, are you happy to read? Because that's you penning your heart down, isn't it? But when there's no relationship, if I meet a stranger on the street and they give me a card or something, in fact, as you are reading, you are angry. Why did you waste my time to give me? Is that isn't it? And you are reading through, and what is this? I remember two days ago. I got a call from an unknown caller. Those name withheld. I don't pick them up. I don't pick name withheld. If you call me with no caller ID, I don't pick no caller ID, because it means that you've not dignified. There's no relationship. If there's relationship, why are you hiding your number? And if you're hiding your number, then what kind of a person? Who are you hiding your number from? Who is running after you? So whatever is chasing you should not come and chase me. Whatever is chasing you, don't transfer what's hot on your pursuit. Don't transfer it to me. So if you come with no caller, I don't pick up. If I pick up, it's because that you've called several times and it's a nuisance. Yeah. So if I pick up your name withheld, it's because I think that's it. That call is a nuisance, and I've had enough of it. That's why. So this call, they call me in the morning. Out of anger. Yes. He was from the bank. He said, "Oh, we have noticed some irregular activities." I said, "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All of a sudden, see the relationship. So God wants to have that kind of When there's relationship, time together is easy. If you are uncomfortable by yourself and the Bible together, you and the Bible for half an hour, you cannot do that, or you are uncomfortable, or you don't have time to do that, you don't have a relationship. You do not have a relationship. And you will understand what I'm saying, because many of us understand relationship. We've gone out with people before in a dating relationship, and many of us are married. So you know the butterfly feeling. You know when you just cannot wait to hear someone's voice. Isn't it, Pastor Bola? Yeah. You know when you cannot wait to hear someone's voice. Praise the Lord. So, in a relationship, sharing problems is easy. Think, what am I saying? I said God wants to have a relationship with him. I said, secondly, that relationship will be easy. When relationship is easy, in a relationship, communication is easy. Number two, spending time together is easy. Number three, sharing problems is easy. Because when there is no relationship, right, and you have a problem, the very first person you will call is your friend. Isn't that what you do? Some people will call their parents. Some people is their mother. Right? In fact, some people will call their mother before they talk to their husband. Right? Because that relationship is still there. You see, some boys, what their mother says, they act out in their marriage. Some men, right, it's what mommy says. Yeah, they are, when they were mommy's boy, now they are mommy's man. Mommy's man. Ah, until mommy puts a sign of approval, nothing is going. The woman can say all she wants to say. But say, yeah, it's true. I'm going to think about it, a.k.a. I have to call mommy. Then when you now call the mommy, instead of the mommy too, to say, my son, you are a married man now. Go and make your decision. You say, And I was talking to your father about this not too long ago. Right? So we think that this is what you should do. Then the man comes back home. I say, Danny, honey, we're not doing that, we are doing this. Say, but why? But you and I had this conversation last year. And we said we are going to do this. What is the problem now? Why now? Why now? Why now? Why now? The guy will look at us if he doesn't know what's going on. Because mommy is in what? Is in control. But when there's no relationship, it's difficult to share problems. So that means that you may be married, but you don't have a relationship with your wife. Your relationship is with your mother. Or your father. Or your auntie. Who didn't want you to get married in the first place? You understand what I'm saying? Well, so many people are married, but they are not in a relationship. They are not. When there's a relationship, you share problems. For some people, when they have problems, their wife is the last to know. For some of them, when they have problems, their husband is the last to know. For some of them, when they have problems, God help their daughter or their son. They pour that, families, mothers, will sit down, call a child, and offload problem, and offload their own problem, challenges, on a child who has no capacity to handle it. So they first of all destroy that child before that child becomes an adult. You know why? When there is relationship, it's easy to share problems. When there's no relationship, you can't share problems. Now, rather than sharing problems with every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Harriet, you should fix the relationship. And many of us are like that. Because we have no relationship with Jesus, he's the last to know. You will consider everybody before you say pray. Because there's no relationship. But when there's a relationship, your knees is the first place you go to. In fact, you get excited to go down on your knees because you know that there's a relationship. It's easier to share your heart in prayers and say, Lord, you know me. in my innermost being, you know me. I don't know what to do about this problem. That's a very good prayer. Right? Not, you don't need all those praise God, God. No. You can say, I praise God. So, yeah. Oh, Lord. I am, it's only when you have a relationship that you can share a problem. I say, ah, Lord, I am finished. Only in the presence of the master that you can say, I am finished. When you get up from your knees, you tell the devil to get out of my side. We show our weakness to the one we love. And then we show boldness to the enemy. Are you listening? You must have relationship. Really must have relationship. When there's relationship, what do? Sharing problems is easy. It's easy to be open and honest when there's relationship. Praise the Lord. So in a relationship, sharing struggles is easy. I'm struggling handling this when there's a relationship. I'm struggling handling this. But you come to the Lord, I say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. You know, I remember saying that prayer several times as a pastor when this church just got started. Several times, especially when we moved into this building. Several times I would come here and I would just, this is me praying. This is me praying. I just sit down here and say, oh, Lord, have mercy. What am I going to do now? I was okay as a consultant. This one, I don't know. Ah, Lord, oh God. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. The day they sent us letter, planning permission, then I wasn't sitting there. Lord, what am I going to do with 300 people? I knew the day will come, Lord. I knew. It was by faith I bought this. I believe. It was by faith we bought this building. I believe. What am I going to do? In Jesus' name. Pastor, how are you? I'm blessed. You are blessed. God bless you. You are fine. God bless you. God bless you. You can't help me. If I come and tell you, Tina, they just sent us a letter. What is she going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to help me? How are you going to help me? How are you going to help me? Tell me. You will feel sorry for me. It's not sorry I'm looking for. I want a solution. But because there's a relationship, I can share my problems with my maker. And then he would then ask me who to go and see, who to go and talk to, who he has prepared beforehand, because he knew that this will come one day. Are you listening? So, in summary, it is your responsibility to develop healthy spiritual relationship with Jesus. You cannot afford to mortgage your friendship with Christ. That friendship is authentic, it is real, and it can be developed, it can be invested in. And as a Christian, it is your responsibility to grow in that friendship. Amen. Amen. Rise to your feet and let us pray.